Are you an insider? Subscribe to FC Insiders today to receive full unedited interviews, news, rumors, exclusive content, and more. Join FC Insiders at futurecommerce.fm.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex is the leader of tax technology solutions and services for corporations worldwide. They're trusted by over half of the Fortune 500. Vertex Cloud meets sales and use tax solutions for businesses of all kinds. Visit them online today at vertexsmb.com. Emarsys is the largest independent marketing platform company in the world. Their software enables truly personalized one-to-one interactions between marketers and customers across all channels. They help you build loyalty and enrich the customer journey while increasing your revenue. Go to emarsys.com/futurecommerce to request a demo and see for yourself how Emarsys can help your company scale marketing decisions. That's Emarsys, emarsys.com/futurecommerce. Hello and welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Philip.
And I'm Brian.
And today we have a first time guest, but someone I've been a very big fan of for a long time. Monica Kachar from Smart Gift is joining us. Say hello, Monica.
Hi. Hi, Philip. Hi, Brian. And I've been a big fan of yours too.
Everyone's got a lot of mutual respect on this particular show. It's going to be a lot of fun and can't wait to hear more about what you guys are doing over there. But before we begin, I want to remind you that the best way to stay in touch with what's going on here on every single week's episode of Future Commerce is to head on over to futurecommerce.fm and subscribe to our FC Insiders newsletter. It's your best bet for all things that are both future and or commerce and all of the rabbit trails that we take in between. Make sure that you also subscribe over anywhere where you get podcasts, and we're everywhere these days, from iHeartRadio to Spotify, and Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all the rest. And make sure you drop us a 5-star while you're there. Okay, with all that out of the way.
Yes. So, Monica, tell us a little bit more about who you are. You know, what's your story? What inspired you to do what you're doing now?
For me, it's really been, I've really been a product, I guess, of really just a few lucky happenstances in my life. You know, I think first was really I was born and raised in India to parents who were both mom and dad who were scientists. So my childhood was really atypical, you know. After school, we would just, you know, during this like infernal summer heat of northern India, my brother and I would just spend time in my parents' lab because they had air conditioning and a power generator during electricity cutouts, right? So we were just always in a lab kind of looking at how scientists were tinkering with things. You know, we would look at bacteria under a microscope. So it was just I think it was really kind of a sea of wonder, if you will. And that really ignited in me, I would say, a love for science and technology. And overall, just to see a woman, you know, in STEM was important and deeply influential to me. And then sort of in my life path, you know, after that, after high school in India, I was going to go into something very traditional like medicine, because that's really what you do. Either you go into engineering or medicine. And for, you know, just some reason, my brother insisted I should apply to liberal arts colleges in America, and which was really sort of how it all happened. So I got into Mount Holyoke College in Massachusetts. They offered me an international scholarship, and and coming from just humble academic backgrounds, it was like the best thing that could have happened to me. So I came here at the age of 18, started from scratch, and, you know, learning a whole new cultural language and to be exposed to that mindset, the American mindset of thinking, of solving problems, of sort of looking at across disciplines, was a very, very compelling platform for me to grow out of. And not to mention being part of an all-women's college, I think, really fueled some deep relationships in my life with incredible women. And then I think the third thing really was how I met my co-founder. After Mount Holyoke, I went to London School of Economics, and that's really, it's been 15 years ago since I met Bjorn Strunitz, who's my co-founder now. And we both really already knew that we wanted to build things that would change the status quo, right? And so for us, you know, we both worked in banking and finance, and in tech M&A and tech trading. I was one of the few women on the trading floor. And from then on, we started our first company, our first business together, which was an e-commerce platform for the music industry. And we actually bootstrapped it, grew rapidly, and later on got acquired by The Orchard, which used to be the largest independent music distributor. And then that was subsequently bought by Sony Music. And so after all that, we started Smart Gift, and now we've been working on it for almost 3.5 years.
Very cool.
Wow. What a story. Yeah. For those who, if you've made the rounds in any of the sort of, where I met you anyway, is in some of these sort of trade show scene, at least around e-commerce. That's certainly where I met you. And I believe I spoke to you first when I saw you present at Fashion Digital a few years ago in New York. And I was really impressed with your sort of take on the science of gifting. I don't know if you want to touch on that a little bit, sort of why you think, you know, what sort of sets you apart in that space. I know you have so much information around that.
Yeah, exactly. We met in New York, and I remember that because right after that, we were talking about the psychology and the science of gifting, and then you and I started chatting about it as well. I guess I should take a step back and kind of just sort of talk about what we do, right? So Smart Gift. Essentially what we're doing is we're solving the complexity of shopping for others. So either, you know, you're buying for yourself or you're buying for someone else, really. And if you look at sort of the first wave in e-commerce, it was about enabling buying simple things online, like books, music, et cetera. I think then it paved the way to buy more complex things online, right? Like apparel, shoes, groceries. But all of this was sort of geared under the umbrella of purchasing for oneself. And then the e-gift card came along, and I think it really created this. And I think, Phil, you and I talked about it a couple of years back, that it really created this customer experience of just handing over some money to others, right? And leaving it to them to go transact it.
Right.
So, yes. So for us with Smart Gift, really, we're enabling that next phase where people can shop, anything for anyone else down to the product level, whatever that might be, and send it to them instantaneously, you know, through any conversational platform. So in terms of, what we see in gifting or what we see in terms of the mindset around gifting, it's pretty exciting. The science of gifting is extremely complex. What we're noticing, and generally, I think, is that the current consumer mindset is all about, seamless shopping experiences, fast to hidden payments, and everything is just mobile driven, right? So for us, how we, where we sit, we have this unique band because we're enabling the gift experience. We have this unique vantage point to really understand when people are shopping for others, what's the occasion, what they're buying, how much they're spending on different relationships in their lives. And because our gift recipients can select the preferences, right, such as size, color, taste, or swap the gift for a different item, in the same price range, we also understand their individual behaviors. So these tend to be really deep insights for us. It was funny. We recently saw that the average order value on Mother's Day was slightly higher than on Valentine's Day with male gifters. So I guess, men still will, I guess men will always be mama's boys, right? In that sense. on birthdays and other event-driven gifting, it tends to be extremely last minute, with majority of gifting happening on the day off or the day after a birthday. And then in terms of the mindset around, different occasions have different behaviors. So now as we will go into Q4 gift shopping, there is a whole new set of different behavior and pattern there. Peak online gifting is getting more and more pushed towards the last days leading up to the holiday and often past shipping cutoff. So with Smart Gift, because of its immediate nature, we are able to extend that online gifting business for retailers all the way to the end. And also what's been funny is there also seems to be this pattern of what we call the guilty gift phenomenon. And it's literally right after Christmas or Hanukkah. And it seems to be like, when people do Smart Gifts a day after, and often it's an addendum to the main gift. And it seems like it's probably because they spent less, on the original gift than what they received, right? So it's extremely thrilling to be working on just working with such rich qualitative and of course quantitative data to map out what we're working on, with the gift genome.
Well, that's amazing, that data is so powerful. Like, just even with what you've just said here on this podcast, and I'm sure you have so much more data. My wheels are already turning about ways that, I can help shoppers or help merchants kind of connect with their shoppers on a deeper level. That's amazing.
If you can help merchants connect with their shoppers, can you help Amazon in its 2-hour downtime on Prime Day? Because I feel like that might.
Oh my!
I mean, you just left Amazon, but it sounds like maybe you should have been there for Prime Day because maybe. Anyway.
Yeah, and it's true, Brian. Right? You know, like from our for like retailers and brands, right? So we're really helping retailers and brands really get closer to their customers, in you know, in thoughtful ways, right? During those important occasions in their lives. So, you know, from gifting to even peer-to-peer shopping, right? Smart Gift really removes that friction. You know, that confusion when I don't know my dad's shoe size or the exact address of even Phil if I wanted to send him a thank you gift, right? Or, you know, which shade of lipstick to give to my friend. So all those things, we remove all that for retailers and brands and their customers.
Oh, you just brought up something that I just, like, this is totally not on our questions here. That, but you mentioned what shade of lipstick to get your friends. That kind of relates back to something we've talked a lot on the show called body data, an idea called body data. And have you started to kind of connect with body data at all anymore? Like skin tone or shape or, you know, size or whatever it is. And like use that in the equation for how people gift?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yes, absolutely. So a couple of things that we're working on, that the platform already does is, it's called the intelligent swapping mechanism. And essentially it is learning semantically over time. And what we're doing is there because now, you know, because we understand recipients' preferences around, you know, around the size, as you mentioned, or the color or the fit, or sort of the other preferences. So we really start mapping that out. So we really do, over time, start closing the delta between what a gift shopper gives and what the recipient ultimately picks. And that, you know, and that creating that machine really for us is how do you get people to buy the perfect gift for the perfect occasion for, you know, for that particular relationship. So that how do you like really personalize that communication down to the product level.
Yeah, absolutely. I can definitely see how that'd be useful. You said that.
But body data is really fascinating, no? Like all the things that are going to happen in that field, I think it's really exciting, even in health tech.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah, I know. We've talked about that quite a bit on the show as well. Like how body data is going to affect health tech and how health tech is going to affect retail shopping.
I do think it's interesting because in at least in this space, the way that someone might be motivated to give up some, you know, some sort of more personal information about them, not just in gift selection, but in maybe answering questions about themselves and their preferences, is definitely when it's tied more towards the immediate gratification of receiving something in return, like from a friend who's trying to send them a gift. It feels to me like they may be more willing to submit that kind of information rather than in some kind of a, you know, campaign from a retailer that might say something like fill out your right. profile. So I definitely see like some value there. I see how your brain is kind of connecting that, Brian. That's very interesting. And as a merchant, I would love to be able to have more data like that to be able to drive more creative offers, more better understand my customer, better personalize the site to her or him. That's sort of fascinating.
Yeah. And you know, and what we find, yeah, exactly. And so one of the things that we've been doing with our brand partners is running email campaigns right around different occasions, and you know, no one just wants to have that promotion email that goes out with 20% off, you know, dad and grad season, right? They actually really want to get down to what are the gifts which gifts are being bought, what are those relationships among people. So when we give them back gift insights, we really are able to give them insights around these are the relationships, you know, there's an affluent parent group giving to me bags to their college age Europe going children this summer, right? So we're able to like go down to the story level of the product and the people and really, you know, kind of take away, you know, if you think about CRM, it's been very linear, right? And I think gifting is that one CRM where you can really kind of, it's a relational CRM. Mm. And we're able to power that for our partners, which has been really effective and really exciting. So pretty much every occasion, every holiday, all our partners, you know, do marketing campaigns around smart gifting.
Do you just an aside, and if you don't know this, that's totally fine. But do you know offhand what the percentage of our economy is based off of gifting, or at least maybe online purchasing?
Yes, I mean, e-commerce is still only 10%, right, in the U.S. Yeah. of total retail. Think about it; it's just such. Even now, it's such early days.
Yeah, totally. No, I wonder if. Actually, here's another question for you. Then, do you feel like the technology is changing the way that we gift, or do you feel like we're just tapping, like we're using technology to empower, gifting. Gifting patterns that are already in place. I guess which one's having a bigger effect on each on the other? Is it tech on people or people on tech?
That's such a philosophical and fascinating question. I think the influence is both ways. So if you think about, sort of tech platforms that have enabled whole new customer experiences, right? From us hailing, not hailing a taxi, but pressing a button on an app to, getting fresh groceries on demand. I think these have all been sort of tech nudge customer mindset behavior changes, right? And I think in terms of gifting, if you divide it up, right? So there's gifting happening, and then there is just peer-to-peer shopping happening where people are just buying something for others, which might be a gift, might not be a gift, but it has the same friction to it. And then I think, so there is the segment of people who will always buy, I will go into a store, buy a t-shirt and give it to my, give it to my partner, or I want to buy it online, right? So for now, what we've been really, what we've been able to do is add value on that immediate, that last minute, that online digital gift experience and buying for somebody else experience. But we also, start looking at the omni-channel, right? Like how do you kind of take that in store where I'm in store, I see something for Phil, I want to send it to him right away. And through smart gifting from in-store to his mobile phone, I can drive that experience. But I think in terms of just the more technology, sort of just the more innovative technology there is out there, the more, the more easier it's becoming to kind of create new experiences. I think the more sort of customers are using it, right? So it's almost like supply and demand. Like the more there is, the more people are kind of adopting new frameworks, new mind shifts.
Yeah.
What do you think is driving what?
I think your answer is good. I think that and this is just one pundit's opinions on this, but it is interesting. I think and obviously this sort of applies to the greater like how is technology changing people versus just empowering them question that we see in many places in retail right now. And I love Philip's reference to Amazon just now, and I feel like technology is clearly changing shopping habits. We wouldn't have Prime Day without Amazon, and people wouldn't be spending or attempting to spend a whole bunch of money in the middle of July for no other reason that Amazon declared it a national shopping holiday, right? In the same way, I feel like, gifting, as it's interesting, I feel like maybe there's more, we're looking for reasons to give things to people now. And maybe when it's on at our fingertips and, it's like, okay, yeah, now I can just do this with the push of a button right here as I'm browsing, or, oh yeah, like I remember that this person always wanted that thing and I can send it to him right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the past we wouldn't have actually went ahead and bought it because we wouldn't have even been browsing and it's seen the ability to make that gift in that moment, or we wouldn't have been able to send that gift in a way that was discreet or like gift like. So I mean, it is interesting. I think your answer though is on point, and it is both, clearly.
But I think technology democratizes like the ability of democratize, probably the wrong word. It allows us to have infinite choice where we wouldn't typically, because it takes a certain size of a market to be able to service small boutiques that only cater to specific niches. Like a gift a very broad gift that is given the world over is flowers. And you'll have many, many, many flower shops. But even at the hyper local level, there's only so many flower shops that one little tiny metro area could sustain. And it's probably less than a dozen. It's smaller than you think. And how much smaller still, if you wanted to, I think of other like niche players in the space that technology has supported, like Sherry's Berries. How many coated strawberry gifts can a small media market be able to sustain? Not many. So it takes something like the internet and e-commerce to be able to grow up, the ability of a company to be able to, so that you can send Harry and David pears to just about anybody.
That's a really good point.
And otherwise what you have is you have these outsized, and we still have this today, but you have outsized competitors who might spring to mind of, you know, the very large flower shops online who are doing all kinds of different gifts, but they become the Walmarts or the Amazons in their space. And I think smaller niche players will still be able to have a space and have exposure because they're going to hit on something that you wouldn't probably have thought of otherwise.
Yeah, I think one of the things to add is personalization, like in personal data. And, you know, like we mentioned body data, that's just one form of personal data is, the more of that we have, the more opportunities that we're going to be given or recommended about our friends. You know what I mean? It's like, oh yeah, we've talked a ton about personalization for individuals. Like, oh yeah, you've got to know, you know, your shoppers. Well, you got to know your shoppers' friends and family, because if you can push, you know, if you can push things that are relevant potential gifts to you know, your shoppers that are related to their friends and family that they would have never known about otherwise. I mean, gift giving is hard. Showing them things that fall right in their wheelhouse, they're definitely going to want to spend more money on their friends and family.
In Brian's perfect world, he wants it to pop up when you're trying to send peanut brittle to somebody that it accesses their health information to see if they have peanut allergy.
Exactly.
Totally.
And also,
I think we're all trying to, like, at least I think we're agreeing on as well. It seems to me that there, you know, there is this deep reimagination, right, of the entire sort of customer experience because of technology, because we can reimagine a whole new world and our interactions in it, right? And I think, like, when you brought up the whole idea of flowers or Harry and David, so actually 1-800 Flowers is one of our, you know, it's one of our partners in innovation, and just to see how they're using tech has been actually remarkable. So they are a very, they view new tech initiatives as really just sort of constant part of their, you know, of their business framework, right? And even with SmartGift, we're enhancing their customer experience for them further, which is already, a gifting experience. So it's always about, like, how do you improve, how do you enhance, how do you add multiple levels of value, to their customers now, but also in the future. So one thing, you know, SmartGift is enabling for them is if I send you flowers, you might not want flowers. Maybe you're not going to be home for the next 5 days to enjoy your flowers. So you can actually, you know, swap for Harry and David pears, for the Cheryl's cookies, or swap among their other family of brands, right? So to create that multi-level experience, and expose customers to other products.
I love that so much.
I think ultimately it's really about, you know, the role of the customer is getting so much more complex and demanding, right? Yeah. Like, they're involved and get even more involved from everything to do, you know, to do with their journey.
Totally.
So we really have to start thinking of customers as co-creators, right?
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. Like Bossier. That's a great example of that.
Co-marketers, right? You know, so like co-creators and to co-marketers as being the influencers.
You mentioned 1-800 Flowers tech strategy, which I absolutely love. And I mean, I've always been impressed with how aggressively they've gone after new tech. Do you think in general that retailers, you know, I mean, a lot of them are looking to tech to stay relevant. Do you agree with that strategy? Do you think that retailers should focus their dollars into tech?
Yeah, I mean, and it's kind of going back to even when we were talking about health, right? I think that any industry, whether it's retail, insurance, finance, health, they all need to be looking towards tech to position themselves for the future. I mean, you know, if you think about it, like before it used to be finance, now it's fintech, right? It used to be health, now it's health tech. Every disruption in insurance we call insurtech. And I think, you know, for the most successful and fast-growing retailers, I think they're really, you can kind of sum up that what they're really pursuing now is retail tech, mm-hmm. right? So it's no longer about the silos. It's really about how does technology breed completely new experiences for them.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex provides cloud and on-premise solutions that can be tailored to specific industries for every major line of tax, including sales and use, income, value added, and payroll. Vertex Cloud is the SaaS solution that automates sales and use tax, including calculation and returns. With multiple service levels and flexible pricing models, Vertex Cloud meets the sales and use tax needs for businesses of all sizes. From recognizable brands like Honda, Pepsi, Verizon, and small businesses the world over. Find out more today at vertexsmb.com and be sure to mention Future Commerce Podcast to get 15 months for the price of 12. Once again, that's vertexsmb.com. Emarsys is the largest independent marketing platform company in the world. Powered by artificial intelligence, the Emarsys marketing platform enables truly personalized interactions between marketers and customers across all channels, building loyalty, enriching the customer journey, and increasing your revenue. Each day, Emarsys connects more than 2,200 brands with 3.2 billion customers all over the world. Emarsys delivers over 350 million personalized interactions across email, mobile, social, and web. To learn more about how Emarsys can help your company scale marketing decisions and actions, visit emarsys.com/futurecommerce and request your demo today. That's Emarsys, emarsys.com/futurecommerce.
So how is this playing out for SmartGift? You know, as you're kind of developing the product and continuing to add to its capabilities, you know, how do you see some of this new tech that's coming out playing into the world of gifting? So like voice or AI, chatbots, and augmented reality, you know, all of that. Like how are you seeing SmartGift interacting with some of these new technologies? Body data is a great example as well. We've talked about that already.
I'm waiting for the day when, you know, like you have these tattoos that are, that have GPS enabled, sort of like body location enabled tattoos. Well, with regards to gifting, the changes are equally transformative, you know, on two levels. I think, the first, you know, the increase in digitization means that it's no longer acceptable, right, to treat physical gifts, and digital gifts as siloed outcomes, right? I mean, the whole experience now is influenced by the digital synapses. So, you know, in the future, I think we expect the gifting continuum to reflect this merging of the physical and the digital. So even more deeply, like, you know, with AR, with VR, right? And I think secondly, there's going to be a deeper need to get the gift right. So for too long, the receiver experiences has been this afterthought in retail, you know, whether in goods that have attributes or, you know, based on asymmetric information. Or for example, like, and as we discussed, right, knowing the size, color preferences, et cetera. But I think in the future is, you know, more likely using that digital synapses to enhance and build a powerful end-to-end gift journey that, you know, that places equal emphasis on the gifter, on the sender, that might start using voice as its medium for search and end ultimately with a, you know, with an augmented reality or a virtual reality visceral experience of opening the gift. And I think that sort of, you know, that extension is going to be that holistic experience. Sorry about that.
That's amazing. Yeah.
No, that's. But I think that's a technology first approach, because I can't think of sort of what a real world analog experience would look like, right? That's a digital first experience, as far as I can tell. I'm imagining, you know, an experience where you would receive a gift and then walk it back into the department store and say, I don't like this. I want to shop at another store instead. It just doesn't happen. Right. So it's very interesting. I also have to think, you know, I'm stumbling over myself because I'm so excited at the moment. There's a sense that I have about the sort of entitlement of the customer. So if I want to go to sort of a that could be a very positive thing, but I think it could also be sort of a negative thing. What do you think the sense of the gift giver is in having someone's gift idea sort of replaced or replaceable? Does it diminish the satisfaction of the giver of the gift? And what have you looked into on that side?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. So the basic psychology of gifting, right? The gift giver, it's really this, it's a reciprocity angle. And for the gift giver, it's about, you know, it's building that social cohesion, building that bond. Sometimes it's even sort of, you know, asking back for favors through the exchange of gifting. And what we've seen is that gift givers are very happy to have, so, you know, in smart gifting, if the recipient chooses something different, the gift giver knows about it. So, you know, so they can almost like build that profile up about that, you know, about that friend or family member that they gave a gift to. And what we find is that gift givers are actually very happy to have expressed themselves thoughtfully. So they have kind of alleviated their guilt or their concern having gifted, like, you know, a gift card or having, you know, not gifted anything. So they basically are saying, hey, at least I gave you what I liked for you. And if you chose something different, that's great too. So now, like, the utility of happiness has been maximized on both ends of the recipient and the sender. So it's really that. So gift givers, you know, it's for them, as long as they're allowed to express themselves, allowed to kind of be able to give that gift, they're very happy if the recipient decides on something different.
There's this sort of classic movie trope or a TV trope of the grandmother that takes care to knit a sweater for the grandchild, right? And the kid opens it and they sort of have to feign excitement. Nobody really wants the sweater. You can't really take that one back to the department store. Brian, this reminds me of some of our, I think, episode 75 recently about sort of the attachment that people have to brands with the ability to sort of customize, right, or personalize those gifts. Monica, is there any demand out there, do you think, for people to be able to attach some sort of, you know, personal touch to the gifts that they give to other people online, or their ability to modify the sort of the intention of the gift? Anything on the realm of like personalization or customization that comes into play?
So do you mean in terms of the personalization, the customization of the handoff experience, or do you mean in terms of the product itself where the recipient wants to, you know, potentially monogram it or have it?
Yeah. More the product customization.
Yeah. So with a couple of our partners, with New Balance and Tumi, they have, you know, personalization features, right? Where what we're seeing is that there's actually a very high percentage of recipients who definitely want their signatures, who definitely want sort of that monogramming and that aspect of who gave it to me. But ultimately, it's where we see the gift senders really playing in is in the delight of the experience. So, you know, they really want to be able to put a note in there. You know, they want to be able to digitally wrap the gift. So we have this interactive wrapper that the recipients can, you know, scratch off. So we're seeing that a lot. Like it's more of like, how do you hand a gift digitally where it doesn't just seem like this transaction, but really a thoughtful, how can you mimic that thoughtful gesture online? From the recipient side, another angle that we found interesting is the thank you notes back are actually, they're just a sea of information for us, because that's really where you start seeing real sort of, you know, capture of why are people gifting? How are the recipients feeling about a product? You know, because they will really be pretty outspoken in their thank you notes, why they exchanged something or why they went for something else or what they really liked about that product. And so we find that pretty interesting as well from just sort of a personal gift giving perspective. But from personalization perspective, I think, when people are gifted something and if they have the ability to, they definitely want to make it even more of their own. And we find that even more so with brands that have much higher AOVs. So with Tumi, we definitely see a lot of personalization.
You know what this sort of eliminates? I'm totally just off topic for 1 second, but this totally eliminates the need for any regifting ever.
Oh, yeah.
The regift is gone. The regift is dead.
The regift is, did people ever regift? I guess it's a Secret Santa gift.
Oh, no. Regifting used to happen all the time. I mean, it's been, you know, joked about on many of the TV show, I think.
Yes.
I think I've regifted something before. In fact, I'm pretty sure that I have at least once. Sorry, whoever I regifted. But now that can't be a joke anymore. So.
I've certainly done it. I mean, if I have to cop to it, someone gave me a gift card to a high-end movie theater not so long ago. And, you know, I really identify with that sort of feeling indebted to someone kind of a feeling. It's like, oh, now I owe that person something. So I turn around and, you know, I feel like I have to pass that on. It was a generic enough gift that I was able to, you know, pop that into someone, you know, giving it off to someone else. And then, you know, it was reciprocated. It was basically a big trying. It was like the Lion King circle of life, but for gift cards that kept coming in. And I was sort of just keeping that circle of life going.
You were doing your guilty gift. That was your
the guilty gift. Yes.
The guilty gift.
Actually, I think you mentioned the guilty gift as something that sort of just to augment maybe a present that you felt was lacking, or at least in response to a gift that you were given. But I feel like there's a lot more to guilty gift giving than just that. Like once someone gives you a gift, you do feel indebted to them in some way. Hence all the the anti-gifting gift acceptance policies that a lot of corporations have because of that strong desire to repay or feel indebted to. Have you considered sort of like the someone gives you a gift, give them a gift back sort of functionality, like where it's like, and here's some suggestions for this person since they gave you a gift, or something along those lines, where it was a gift that was unexpected, or a gift that was, you know, maybe like in relation to something outside of standard holidays or birthdays or whatever.
Yeah. I think, I think gifting is, well, so actually, yeah. So with flowers, we have implemented this where, you know, where a recipient can send back as a thank you gift, Cheryl's cookie back, you know, so like you can send back a $5 cookie, which is a great, but also I think to your question, I'm kind of looking at it from a different angle. Gifting is so closely also related. In a way, it's a very selfish transaction because you're really doing it for your happiness, for your sort of building of a bond, for your potentially of, you know, kind of wanting an IOU back. But at the same time, if there's any transaction that's generous, it is a gifting, right? You're not buying for yourself and you're buying for somebody else. And we definitely, you know, think that there's a really big, there's a really big sort of opportunity in time gifting with charitable causes, right?
That. So, yes.
I just sent you a gift, and now on behalf of, like, you know, as a thank you, you could send, you know, you can donate a couple of dollars to a charity of, you know, of your choice or the gift sender's choice. And I think that really sort of that giving back within gifting is, I think it's really important from a human to human perspective.
Yeah, actually, right before you said that, I was just thinking about that. Like, that would be my next question. How have you interacted with some of these charitable organizations that are able to process gifts like that? And, you know, do you have any data that you can share around how users are responding to that? Are they taking advantage of this functionality? How is that coming into play in gifting in general?
Yeah, so on the charity side, Brian, it's funny. So our product came out, our product today came out in the market last year. And since then, we've just been growing really rapidly. You know, we're around 18 enterprise retailers within a year. And now, so these are the kind of things that we want to work on next, right? So how do we enhance that experience even further, not just from a customer experience perspective, but from just like a humanitarian perspective, right? Like how can we get into those partnerships where we enable that giving back as well? So that's something we're starting to look into now. and we're really excited by it.
It's amazing. You know, we have so much new technology coming, and we've talked about that already and how important it is to invest in that. But there's so much technology that we have right now. With the right partnerships, if you leverage the right partnerships, it can result in so much additional functionality and benefit for customers. I mean, and we're talking about, you know, nonprofits, but I mean, I think this is true for profit as well. Partnerships are waiting out there to provide customers value. And, you know, if you go out and build connections using tools that already exist or using internal teams that, you know, to create those connections, I think there's still so much left to do. I think of, you know, in our world, looking at e-commerce platforms and other functionality that sort of surrounds them, there's still so much building left to do just between tools. I think there's a lot, just for our merchants, you know, don't have to necessarily go and hit the most recent technology. There might be low-hanging fruit opportunities that like what we're just talking about right now, that are worth pursuing first. So I love that, Monica, that's sort of like your next play.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, speaking of like low-hanging opportunities, yeah, it's so true, right? Because, you know, just looking at, so, you know, thinking about, you know, sort of retailers and brands and having to compete with the obvious thing, the elephant in the room, if you will. I think gifting is also so deeply personal, where people really kind of endorse brands, right? They're endorsing the retailer, they're endorsing the brand, especially when you're giving a product level gift. I think when you look at gift cards, yeah, okay, I'll give an Amazon gift card or, you know, an iTunes gift card or a Starbucks gift card. But when you start going down to the real sort of merchandise level, I think that's really where the big opportunity for brands is to shine also within that gifting commerce transaction. And for the longest time, everybody's been just solving for the add to cart. And now it's really about, well, how do we create a whole really sort of seamless, delightful customer experience when you're not adding to cart for yourself, but you're really buying for somebody else. And that's really what we're all about. We're helping them tap into that, you know, into that opportunity.
That's awesome. I love it.
Wow. Hold on. Let me repeat what I thought I heard you just say back to you. You're telling me that people are differently incentivized and are all of our best practices around conversion rate optimization might be misguided for somebody who's purchasing for someone else, that they might be persuaded in a different way to purchase outside of our normal, you know, advice around best practice for conversion path.
Absolutely, Phil. That is absolutely right. And it's a great way to put it. That's right. You know,
That alone was worth having you on the podcast, let alone the rest of the conversation.
I mean, that right there blows my mind because I'm like semi-sarcastic here, but I'm actually kind of serious. Like, all of our efforts really are focused at only one persona of a buyer. And in reality, if there's more than one, there can't be two. There's probably N numbers of personas of buyers. And can we truly, I think this is where the argument of personalization or the argument of how of merchants needing to have more intelligence in the way that they organize their shopping experiences or deliver shopping experiences to customers comes into play, is because there is no one type of shopper or one experience that will cater to all shoppers and all of their needs.
Yeah. And their behavior, right? So it's not, you know, and I like the whole, you know, so it's actually like shopping experiences should even be broken down into persona based shopping experiences, right? It's a further personalization of that e-commerce channel. And within one of them is, you know, is a gift. And the other one is maybe you're buying for someone else. The third one is just literally peer-to-peer shopping. So within that shopping, and it makes sense that for the longest time, it's all been about just, you know, how do we create a better shopping experience? And now as that's being perfected, it's really about how do we drill down into the shopping experience and understand the metadata around it, right? Like what else is happening within the shopping journey? And why are they shopping? And are they shopping for somebody else? And what does that experience look like? How do we convert that one to the highest ability that we might have, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's really got the gears turning. We're kind of coming up on, you know, a run of holiday seasons, at least here in North America. What does the gifting season sort of cadence look like, and how can merchants best prepare, you know, their sites and their site experiences for that?
That's right. That's right. We are absolutely coming to prime time gifting. So yes, I mean, you know, all the part and all retailers and brands we're talking to, for everybody, gifting is on top of their mind now. It's all about what's our Q3, Q4 strategy. How do we really maximize on that, whether it's in terms of, you know, acquisition. Obviously, reduction in returns is a huge one right after Q4, the deluge of returns, right, that hits everybody. So it's, you know, I think it's the last 2 or 3 years have really paved the way for, you know, obviously new tech initiatives within that Q3, Q4 scenario. But what we also see is, like, there's an annual cadence to gifting. There is, you know, pretty much that event-driven gifting, and then there are occasions littered throughout the year. But going into it, it's going to be all about really just that next, you know, that next customer experience, that last-minute customer experience, that beautiful way of, you know, conversational gifting that I can just text it to you sitting on my sofa. You can just decide, you can swap, you can, you know, across any touch point, right? So it's really about, you know, how do you make it really easy for your customers to be able to buy gifts, to be able to send gifts, given also behavior patterns around last minute, around post shipping cutoff? How can you extend that holiday season for yourself much later on until, you know, until the holiday and even after the holiday? So that's really, you know, I think the 2018 for us is, and just also just the, you know, the brands and the retailers we're speaking with, for everybody, it's that, you know, what is that next customer experience in gifting, in, you know, how do we delight people? How do we make sure that we're making it easy and convenient for them while not, you know, taking away the thoughtfulness of it?
Great recommendations. Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah. I think that you've added a lot to the conversation, and, we really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you so much.
Fantastic.
It was great to talk.
Yeah, and we'll definitely have to
connect
with you the next time we're out in your area. Maybe we can get another podcast in, and I'd love to hear some more thoughts on some of those philosophical things we hit on earlier, and maybe just a good conversation. So thank you again, Monica. And for our listeners, as always, thank you for listening to the show. We love being able to talk to you every week, and looking forward to a great lineup of content in the weeks ahead. Monica leading into some other really cool guests as well. As always, you know, please subscribe for our podcast. You can go subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe on the new Google Podcast app. You can find us on iHeartRadio now. You can find us pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. You can find us. If you can even say Alexa or Google, which, by the way, you don't have to say, "Hey, Google," anymore. I think you could just say Google. Play the Future Commerce Podcast and we'll come on up. And we'd love to have any feedback from you that you want to provide. Please
True
come
story.
Over to futurecommerce.fm. Leave a comment in the discuss comment box below, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can, or hit us up on Twitter, LinkedIn, wherever you can find us. So thanks for listening. Philip, do you want to take us out?
Yeah, retail tech moves fast,
but future commerce is moving faster.
Thanks for joining us. So thank you, Monica.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks, Brian.